This is As of Late Podcast. It's your boy Titus, and we got Archdale Slim up in this thing, man.
Yeah.
Up in this thing, man. Got my Terrence J going on. Listen here. Hey, day, man.
Hey, my dog told me I need to make that like my little alias.
Oh, hell yeah. Nigga, I thought it already was.
It is now.
It is now. Like, we on dad gonna seal that today.
Archdale, sure.
I like that shit.
For sure.
Hell yeah. How you feeling? We got Southside Ghost, y'all. If you don't know, now you know. You should have been new.
Yes, sir. I'm feeling good, man. How you holding up?
One day at a time, brother.
Yeah.
One day at a time. Good to see you, man.
Yes, sir. I was about to say, I'm happy to be here. Good to see you, gang.
Always, man. Always. Always good to see you. As we always do, we were kicking it, talking a little bit before the podcast officially started.
Yeah.
You and Daggone came off a little Daggone tour.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't going to say a little Daggone. A big
tour.
That's the country. A little Daggone.
Yeah.
You know, came off a big Daggone tour.
Yeah.
You recovering, man, doing the recovery process, man.
Yeah.
So we're going to touch a little bit different things. I want to, first off, just ask, how are you doing mentally and physically?
Ooh.
In the sense of like coming off of something that big,
mm-hmm.
and then having to be humbled with like the recovery process of that. I know it could be a mental hurdle.
That's a loaded question, man. It's definitely been a mental hurdle. It's been very, very hard, if I'm being honest. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I went from one literal extreme to the next.
You literally went like from 0 to 100.
Yep. Well, 100 to 0.
Yeah.
Because the tour made me feel like, you know, it solidified that music is my calling. Music is what I want to do. Yeah, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to be. Being gone for a month and, you know, different hotels and rental cars and flights and, you know, I loved it. I loved it all. Performing, sound checking, I loved it all. And then coming home 3 days after tour, getting major leg surgery, you know, been battling a little depression. I guess I'll just go ahead and say that. You feel me? It's been tough. I got my days when I don't want to talk to nobody.
Yeah.
But I don't even want to say I've been working hard, but I have been, you know, conscious that I'm going to give it all I got and get my leg back together so I can get back on that stage and do what I need to do.
For sure, man. For sure.
Yeah.
And I feel like those moments like that, those trying times, you know, they're tests for the testimony later on.
Right.
And so, like, I feel like this time where you're sitting and recovering, like you said, it's all marinating in the mind.
Right.
Of just like, you know what, this is just confirmation that this is what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
You know, and you know, the depression stuff, you know, because you're only human. You know,
right.
You're human at the end of the day. You deal with the struggles like we all do. The depressions, the ups and downs, man. Mm-hmm. You get through it, man. You know, you got to take it one day at a time.
But, you know, I got closer to God through the tour, man. Because I didn't pray a lot. My grandmother passed, so I've been working on restoring my faith with God. But I was traveling so much, and I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I wasn't waiting for bad days to come to pray.
Yeah.
I wanted to, because I was extremely grateful, and I knew how much I truly wanted everything to go right. I didn't want to get in no trouble. I didn't want to get in any trouble before I left, and then I feel like I let myself down. So I just started praying about it because I knew, but I just wanted God to know, like, how bad, you know. And it's deeper than just the tour, like, you know. So after praying, I would pray almost every day while I was moving around, and I was like, this feels good to not only be praying because everything is in shambles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've been working on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good to have that addition in there because it, for real, it's a whole mind, body, soul thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like the prayer is a, because prayer ain't nothing but communication.
Right. Right.
You know, and everybody has that open line to God, whether, and I feel like with myself, a lot of people, and this is something I battle with, feel like, let me clean it up a little bit first before I talk to them. Because like, you don't want to be that typical, for me, in the sense, the typical, I'm coming to you because I need this, or I'm coming to you because, like, I know I'm in, I wanted to try to clean it up. But God met me where I was at. He met me in the midst of, like, just getting out of the bag. Also, like I'm right here, bro. I see you right here. Like, we can clean this up right now.
Yeah.
And so, kind of, you reminded me of myself when you were trying to, like, get it straight now before talking to him. But he was there in the midst of you thinking those thoughts.
No, for sure. Like, but I always feel guilty when I don't confess it, you know, like when I don't say it out loud or when I don't practice it. Because some people I see, or I see it through myself, like I can't just go through life and just telling myself I know is there, I know what I believe in, but I don't actually practice anything. I'm not actually giving my belief system and my faith to anything. I'm just like using it as a defense mechanism to other people because I know what society is. And I'm saying, yeah, I believe in God, but I ain't really practicing. I ain't really believing. And I just was like, I gotta do better because I don't really know how far I could go without believing. You feel me?
Yeah.
So I just, every day, man, you know, and thinking about my family, I'm like, yeah, I gotta get down and give it up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Give honor to where it's due.
Yeah.
You know, because like life is fickle, man.
Yeah.
You start getting to certain ages. I know for me, it was like, I would feel like 18 was like, if I made it 18, it's on and popping.
Yeah.
Because like I was seeing like so many homies in high school dying from like drive-by shootings and, you know, not living to see 17. And I would see that and be like, man, if I lived 18, it's a blessing. If I lived 21, it's a blessing. Now I'm at that age where it's like mortality is setting in with not necessarily myself, but the people around me.
Right.
To where it makes me appreciate it even more when it comes to like really checking my spirit, checking myself, making sure I'm talking to the people who's really important, you know.
Right.
Spending that time with my niece and nephew, you know, really listening to my mother.
Right.
You know, listening to my father, you know, like, you know, rebuilding that relationship.
Right.
Because life is fickle, man.
I swear.
You know, as I get older, I'm starting to realize, you know, like you wanna bury the hatchet with that stuff that you felt like it was grudge or anything. Like I let a lot of stuff go.
Yeah.
Because you don't wanna leave with stuff like that.
Right, know? That's true.
Mm-hmm. And so dealing with that mindset of getting back into a I want to say in a spiritual sense, like having that prayer mentality, getting back into the rotation with that. How does that go into the rotation with creatively? How has it been creatively with yourself? Like,
it's been hard for me to write, but I could still go in the booth and perform. You know what I mean? Because my lifestyle allows me to be able to pull at damn near any time.
Mm.
But I feel like, you know, I could try harder with what I've been doing in the studio. It's another level I can go to, but it has to be written because, you know, freestyling has I don't know why in my head it's a limited capacity. Like it could sound as good as it does, but I know no matter how good it sounds, it's another level I can go to if I just put the thoughts down and say it with a purpose, not just because it's free to me.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's been hard, man. I had like a little bit of a mental block, a little bit of like, I'm not really inspired, but I still record nonetheless. I still turn on some beats even when I'm not inspired because, you know, I'm just, I got to get my reps in. So I'll mumble. I may not be saying anything, but I'm just picking up some cadences, you know, trying to just get a feel.
Yeah. Lyrical exercise in a sense. Yeah.
But then when I go back and listen to my records that I recorded since all of this, because I've been to the studio maybe 3 times since the surgery, and I'd be like, damn, I actually slid on that. I really don't miss. Yeah. You feel me? I really don't miss. But I know I could do better. You know,
that's motivating though. When you're seeing it. And I remember seeing on your story, I seen you with the crutch, and I knew based off the background you were probably going to Black Pearl.
Yeah,
and I was like, that boy back at it quick, boy. Yeah. It's no time.
Yeah, I'm back in there. I ain't wanna be soaking in the bullshit, man. I ain't wanna just be acting like, you know, I'm so sorry for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, this my job right here. You feel me? I happen to pick a job that's an uphill battle, but this my job nonetheless. So I'm going into work, nigga. Like I'm going into work.
Yeah.
And hard.
And of course, you probably already had that mindset of like, this is what I want to do. This is the career.
Yeah.
But I would take it having the because that tour was fucking live. Based off how that tour looked so live. I was going to surprise you to go to Nashville. I was like, hey, do it to
Nah,
me,
you should have did that.
I was thinking about that thing was fucking packed. Hey, I was like, nigga, oh my goodness.
I stepped
goodness.
All over Nashville. That bitch was like that.
Yeah. It looked like you stepped all over the place over there. You definitely were getting it in. But seeing that from the outside looking in, I can only imagine when you were saying, you said something just now where in a sense was like, because this is my career.
Yeah.
That had to solidify it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
this is like what you said, like this is what I'm here on this earth to do.
Yeah. If I don't take this thing as far as I could possibly take it, it'll be a letdown to myself and everyone that believe in me. That's how much I believe in it. That's how much I need to be believing in it. Mm. You know, I'm aware that it would be like, damn, once again, you let people believe in you more than you believe in yourself. Mm. Because it's just getting to that point. It's real. You know what I mean? Like, just the tour solidified it. Like, oh, yeah. People never heard of me. They rocking with me.
Yeah.
All across the nation. You feel me? Like, we in here.
Yeah.
And that shit felt good.
Is it like an itch where it's like, I got to get back out there? And it's like, because it has to be dope to see different people from different states fucking with your music.
I ain't gonna say that because, you know, it definitely tapped in pockets. You feel me? It wasn't like no roll the red carpet out situation. Like, it was just a nice opportunity that my man gave me, but I had to make my way there. So I ain't itching to get back out there.
Yeah.
You feel me? But it was a lot of fun, and I would, anytime I could go on tour, I'm there. You feel me? Like, I would love to do that shit. Like, I don't know if I got an itch to get back on the road, but performing, always I come alive. I love seeing myself come alive. Like, all of the shows, I did exactly what I was supposed to do. My stage presence was there. And because it was my first time, up until I walk on the stage, I didn't, you know, I got butterflies every single show. I got to go shit. I got to go pee. Because I didn't know what to expect from myself, because I ain't know what to expect from the people. They don't know my shit. Mm-hmm. But I stood on my business every single show. And, you know, I feel real proud about that shit.
Yeah.
Every single show I went out there and I got them, this some Charlotte shit. And they was So it felt good.
Yeah, it was dope to see from a distance, bro. Yeah. I was rooting for you. I was like, we were all, you know, the ones, the real ones was rooting for you.
I
was
appreciate
just like, it's dope to see, bro. It's dope to see. He got the crowd rocking. And you can tell based off of the energy I was seeing, you had the confidence.
Right.
You know? Yeah. The confidence to the, because that's half of the battle. Yeah, oh, going man, out
more
there,
than half.
You know, having that confidence, preparation. You know, like I was seeing you out there, like before people were in there, they were showing clips of like, because Lot was out there doing video.
Yep.
And so I was seeing like clips of like when nobody was in there doing rehearsal.
Right.
And like getting this stuff right. And so it's like, that's, I don't think a lot of people, especially for new up and coming artists, realize how big preparation is key, because it's a lot of people that's probably watching this that's in the young, early stages of recording music.
Right.
And they don't realize breath control.
Oh, yeah.
Not yet. They don't realize having those type of songs that can rock the crowd.
Right. And how to order the songs.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. But, you know, I just realized something while we was talking. Like, what helped me prepare for the tour was the Snug Harbor show I threw. Mm. Like, the response I got.
You did come off a high going into that tour.
Yeah. That shit flipped shit upside down on the low. So just knowing that I could have that kind of stage presence made me say, hey, I'm a just do the same shit I did at Snug Harbor on this tour. Every single show, I'm bringing that same type of energy.
Yeah.
Because the energy was through the roof at that show. Yeah. And that's what I did, and it worked. And now it's my thing.
Yeah.
For real.
That's how it looked, too. Every show looked like some daggone Snug Harbor.
Yeah.
Fucking crowd there. Yeah. Energy there. It was live.
Yeah.
You in the
zone. Shout out my man Primo, bro. Yeah. My man Primo Rice.
Shout out to Primo Rice. How did you guys meet? Like, what's the history with you and Primo? Ooh,
we met in Houston, man. When I used to work with the guys down in Houston at Imperial Houston, it was a clothing store that we had, and the DJ from the clothing store was a major Primo Rice fan in 2015. Mm. And he was like, bro, we got to book him and bring him to the city for a show. So he booked and brought him down, and we linked up because we threw a show, and I performed at the show too. And then we got in the studio, and we just been cool ever since. And I kind of just used to keep up with him through socials and through texts. And wherever he was at, I would pull up. If he ever invited me, hey, I'm in Memphis. Hey, I'm in Ohio. Hey, I'm in Houston. I would pull up and just get in where I fit in.
Yeah.
You know? So I've been doing that for years, since 2016. Mm. I've been pulling up on bro, just getting in where I could fit in. You know, not being weird, not no hidden agenda. This is just my dog. I can afford to pull up.
Yeah.
And I pull up. And then he invited me on the tour after the show. You know, he did the show with me in Snug. And, you know, I found out that day that I could go. I said, oh, it's lit. I'm turning up. Popping. Yeah.
Straight beast, man.
And he had that bitch right. You know, I went out right before him. And half of the shows were sold out. You know, Houston and Dallas did like 400 plus people. Mm. So it was nice opportunities for the kid. to go out and like, hey, you say this what you want to do, right?
Yeah, that's a test right there.
In fact,
you want this life.
Yeah, so
this,
big this. Him up, man, because, you know, he always do the right thing in my eye.
Word. Shout out to Primo, man.
Gotta give that man some flowers, bro, because he always show love to the kid. He always helped me out, even when we do the songs. He split the songs with me so I can get my little money and shit. First time I see real money from the music. Mm. Nobody asked him that. He just called me and be like, what's your email? I'm sending the splits. Mm. You feel me? Bring me up.
That's big for an artist to do that.
It is.
Mm. That's what I'm saying, though. If for niggas that know, that's showing love for real.
It is. And I be learning from bro because, you know, I never was really in that situation. I don't do a lot of collabing. So the splits was kind of new when he gave me the first split for the, I forget what song it was we did together. Goddamn. Oh, it was Outstanding. Mm. So I was like, damn. Yeah, you gonna split the song with the kid like that? Yeah. So now I make sure everything is proper on my end.
Yeah. That's love, man. For sure. That's what's up. And it seems like such an organic relationship.
Oh, it is, bro.
It's nothing forced.
Yeah, it is, bro.
Mm-hmm. That's how I feel like it's stood the test of time.
Right.
You know, and so it's dope to see both of y'all progress and continually throughout y'all successes. Like, I feel like y'all will have, and I don't hate to say this, because I was going to mention him. It reminds me of kind of like Currency and Wiz in a sense where, like, they started at the bottom.
Right.
And now that they're both at this stupid level, they still have that
camaraderie
and friendship to where they still fuck with each other's shit, no matter what.
That's my dog for life, bro. And, you know, the whole tour, he brought me out on his set. So, people, if I didn't get their attention on my set, they might have liked me, but they wasn't interested. But then everybody knew the song that we had together at the shows. Mm-hmm. So he would bring me out to perform that. And then I would gain more fans and just interest just off of coming back out on the set. A lot of shit he ain't had to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of shit that, you know, he definitely is a solid one.
But I feel like that shows you, because you're a solid one. And then when you see stuff like that, it just reminds you, and then you take notes to that when you're in those positions to do the same.
Right.
You know, do the same for it. Because it's going to come a time where you're going to be that headliner.
Right.
And you're going to have an up-and-coming opportunity for an up-and-coming artist to, like, you know, do the same thing.
Right.
You know, even when it comes from the splits, like you're talking about. From the splits to, you know, I feel like this was a good, which life is in general, just soaking up game.
Oh, yeah,
you
for know? Sure.
Just like it's preparing you for that next level.
Oh yeah,
because all it's it is just just opening your eyes for different steps that you're taking.
I just want to put it out there, you know, some of the things that come with it, you know, just for any artist that may be watching anything like that, like, you know, what I learned from these last few months is like, okay, I got myself into entertainment space / profession that really can cost a lot of money to get it off the ground. Mm. So you either got to know somebody to know somebody, or you got to have a nice little situation going on, because this shit costs to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a lot. If you're going to do it right.
If you're going to do it right. And it's a lot of logistics to it. It's a lot of behind the scenes, a lot of shit that you don't see. You don't really see how hard people really be working, you know, and it's just a lot of shit that goes into it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. It takes money to make money.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And in music, it take a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're trying to trap rap or drill rap or whatever. You know, you damn near got to have the image is more important than the music, depending on what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that alone can... Jesus, you feel me? So it's a weird time. I've never really been in times like this before.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I tell these niggas, I'd be like, it's a good time to be yourself. If you ain't that type of nigga, don't be that flashy nigga if you ain't that.
Oh,
because,
God,
like,
bro,
they'll expect that from you, and now you got to live into that lifestyle.
Yeah, and it could be a mind fuck for some people if they can't get there, but they want to put that out, you know. Mm-hmm. It's hard to... Hey, man, I tell people, you know, create what moves you, you know, like what paint your pictures. But, you know, it is a business to it. So if you want it to work, if you ain't just doing it, some shit people just be doing and it's the right time. The timing is right and it just catches fire.
Mm-hmm.
But now I feel like the internet is shut down. You either got to spend some money or know somebody or that shit ain't going to happen.
Why do you feel like it's shut down?
Because they kind of cornered it to where, like, you can't just go viral. All these ads and all this new page shit you got to do. Like, a few years ago, you could fuck around and just go viral on your own. You could just do some shit and that shit could spread.
Yeah, like but the now, Vine era.
Yeah, like like TikTok. They got the ad space now. I done went viral when TikTok first started. Like three times, I probably done maybe got a million, maybe got 60,000 here. I got almost 10,000 followers on TikTok. I stopped using it for a month or two, and I just thought, I'm going to just post a few videos, and I'm going to get back, and it's gonna boom again. I'm going to try to tie some music into it.
Yeah.
But even with all those other views and all those followers, every video I post now got 12 views. And it's weird because it's like, damn, if this was Instagram and I had 10,000 followers, if I posted a video, it'd at least do 500, 1,000.
Yeah.
But they got it shut down. I either need to utilize the app a whole bunch or I need to goddamn pay them some money. Same with Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, like they reward people who spend time on the app consistently or pay the money.
Yeah,
and that's why it just looks shut down. It's no more just going viral for free.
Yeah, because they're seeing how much money it is. Yeah, in that, and now they're trying to put a grip on that.
Yeah, and then these labels, they taking songs to TikTok and they booming through TikTok.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like it's that's what they doing. Yeah, it's a business. So if people could just do it on their own, it'll fuck up the space for the people that's bringing us the money. So now you're gonna have to put up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Record industries have been seen that they were starting to become obsolete. So they're starting to partner with these companies like the Spotify's.
Right.
They've been partnering with them, but like even the TikToks, you even seen it when I was listening to Academics on an interview where like he didn't flat out say it, but he pretty much was just like, he's like a shadow A&R for Atlantic.
Yeah,
when it comes to just like they look at people like him because of his like stature of like being an internet guy,
right?
Of being the person who's gonna be, this is the next new guy,
right?
And so it's like even with that, when it shows me how much they depend on us to give them the culture,
right?
And then still try to rape you,
and then they just monetize off it. That shit sucks. Mm-hmm. It really sucks.
Yeah. It definitely, and if you don't got your business right,
yeah, it's gonna be hard. It's just it's an uphill battle, mm-hmm. You know. Like damn, it's not even a hill. You just fighting a battle. It's just straight up. Mm-hmm. That's why I said a few seconds ago, like depending on what you're talking about, if the business isn't right, it's almost never gonna work. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just never gonna work. No matter how dope the music sounds,
yeah,
it's just never going to work.
Get lost in the sauce.
Yeah.
If you don't got a plan and you're not doing it right and you're not consistent with it, like, you get lost because there's so many other podcasts. There's so many other rappers. There's so many other whatevers.
Right.
You know, ASMR. Like, I daggone was watching, I was watching this dude, like, doing, like, chiropractor work. And I seen it's a lane in that now. This niggas on videos just having videos of niggas getting their back cracked. And I was just like, it's that going. It's a bag for everything.
It is,
I'm
bro.
Like, dang.
Because, you know, you get paid for views now. So, you know, you can go get a bag however you can get people to look at you.
Yeah, niggas ain't even chiropractors. It's just that. It's just a chick in a bikini cracking a nigga's back. It's experience.
It's funny. This freaky ass chiropractor dude, right? He just somehow decided to use the video he got with the girl with the big fat booty, with the booty hanging out the goddamn
and
jeans.
And the yoga shorts.
Yeah.
Or the yoga pants.
And this is who, it just, you know, it's like, okay, I see what's going on. I ain't mad at it.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at one the other day. I was like, I have to cut this shit out. This is pretty much softcore right here. Daggone, I might as well go to daggone xxnx.com. Right. That's okay.
I just look at what's going on, and I try to make sure I'm not playing myself. You know, like, I'm like, okay, I got to take it for what it is, and I need to make sure I ain't playing myself.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's not easy to make this shit. You know, make this shit happen out here.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
But I think people like you figure it out because I feel like when you have a hustle mindset, it's a lot easier compared to because you got to hustle. You got to hustle in this business. They're like the music industry, entertainment period, life period, like whatever you're gonna do, you got to hustle.
Right.
And I've started to see some of the best people when it comes to dealing with the industry. Or people who've had that hustle mentality outside of the industry.
Right.
Dealing with it, whether it was like selling shoes, daggone one foot in, one foot out, dealing with the game.
Right.
They have that mindset where they're getting it when it comes to the algorithm. Do you think that is, I guess I answered the question, that helps to a degree, already have that mindset of a hustler?
It hasn't helped me much in that space, but it has helped me in the space of like, all right, I'm not just going to quit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not just going to give up. Like, this is what I'm doing. I got my mind on it. and I'm a work my move, you know, because that's what hustlers do. They work their move. But the algorithm, I still ain't cracked the algorithm. You know, I still drop a video and the views is not up to what up to par. You know, I still drop a tape and the monthly listeners on Spotify is not up to par. I can't take it to any type of label and have any type of leverage. So, you know, I still work on that, but it's there. You know, what gives me hope is it's there. I'm just close. I'm like one PR away. I'm like one step away from just crossing over to another lane, and it's all the motivation to just not give up, keep going, keep grinding, keep going hard. You feel me? And start learning the business and stop just saying you know the business, but really learn the business. Because if you put a contract in front of me, I wouldn't know what to do with it, honestly. I'll go get some help, but I need to learn the business on the level, you know, on a certain level, because that's the very next step. You know, got to be prepared for all the opportunities. So I just want to make sure my business is in order. And it's kind of like working backwards because I've been doing it for so long, but I had to wait for something real to happen and say, all right, I need to know the business now. Like, I need to know the business when I should have did that first.
Yeah.
You feel me? It took me damn near 8 years to learn that it's a business side to this.
Hey, I mean, time is everything, though, you know? Rather late than never.
Yeah.
It's some people that daggone have lightning in a bottle, blow the fuck up, and then they never learn the business.
Right.
And then they be stuck in this daggone windmill of daggone just...
contracts and
contract and BS and fuckery. And so, like, it's good you learning it now.
Right.
Because then when the timing is right, when you do get that hit and you do get that, because all it takes is one. You do get that right AR to talk to, A&R to talk to, you know how to have your ducks in a row.
Right.
And so, like, and I feel like a lot of that comes from having the hustle mentality. And for me, this is just from the outside looking in, from my personal experiences, I feel like I had to learn the business because wasn't nobody giving me no business.
Right.
And so it's like when you dealing with niggas, like, because I, like, we all know the people that's like dealing with business, and it's just like, especially when you in the city, I feel like when I see certain like people dealing with I mean, it's still clickish at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so like that taught me where it's like, all right, I know they may know what's going on, but I'm going to have to learn this business my damn self.
Right. Because
I can't wait for no handouts.
True.
And so dealing with that with a bunch of no's or a bunch of, like, we talked earlier, like, the winking the guns. Like, hey, man, I got you. I can't depend on these niggas. And so that helped me with the business as well. Like, where I was just like, that may never happen.
Right.
So I need to learn this business myself.
Even further than dependent, like, I don't expect anything from you. Even if you say you're going to do something, my expectation of you is still ground level. Like, I'm not getting away. I'm not getting off the floor for you. I just can't, because it's been so many situations, bro. I could do an entire podcast on all the trial and error, you know, just people saying they're going to do this and they're going to do that and this going to happen and that going to happen.
Yeah, should have, could have, would have.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, bro. For sure.
Yeah. But you learn from those experiences, and then when you're in that forefront of being that guy, you pass that knowledge to the person, the youth, the person.
That's how it should go. I got friends that that's in the music industry, and they get the game. They got the game ran on them, and they kind of try to bring it back to their peers and run it on us. Because it's what happened to them. You know what I mean? And they think this is just how the game goes. Mm. So you need to be prepared for this, you know?
And I got pimped, so let me show
you. Yeah,
let me
exactly, pimp you. Exactly. And that ain't like a personal shot at anybody. It's just shit that I've noticed. And it's like, you know, it ain't a shot at all. It's just, it's like, damn,
I
don't know. It is a fact. Mm. But I don't know if that's the way it should go, because, you know, this Jewish shit that they got, this Jewish hold they got on the music industry, I don't know if it should be going like that.
No.
I don't know, but I also don't know how far I would get in not having that mentality when the time comes. Like, if I run a label and I just be like, here goes everything, bro.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't really, I'm still trying to learn what's necessary and what's evil.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. We were just talking, I was just talking with I don't know if you know Three Eyes, this dude I had on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. And he was talking about getting to, because he's a musician here in Charlotte, and he was talking about getting to levels to where he would have to get a white Jewish lawyer.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was like, why do you think that you would have to get to that level to get a white Jewish lawyer? And he was like, because they get to open doors that a black lawyer just can't do.
Yeah.
That's just facts. It's unfortunate. And it reminded me of this Atlanta episode and what you're saying, because it's like you face that crossroads where it's like, all right, do I mess with my homie that I know is smart and knows is on his management, and or to get to certain doors, I have to get the typical white Jewish guy
right
to get into these doors. And Donald Glover made a point of it to where, you know, he's quote unquote managing Paperboy on the Atlantic show.
Right.
And a dude came up to him and was like, hey, man, if Paperboy is looking for a manager, you know, like, my white Jewish, he was like, my white Jewish cousin is a lawyer. And he was like, nah, he's good. And then he turned around. He was like, let me ask you this. If your cousin was black, do you think he'd be able to get into certain doors? And he was like, no, what did he say? He was like, what is the difference between a black lawyer and your Jewish cousin? He was like, do you think he's more intelligent? And he was like, nah, he just can get into doors that black one can't.
Yeah.
And you reminded me of that because I feel like a lot of people are faced with that dilemma.
Right.
You want to have your people on your side, but then, like, the game is kind of like you still got that old mentality even in the higher-ups when it comes to the game, to where it's like, all right, we're only going to take you seriously if you have this certain person back.
Exactly. Yeah. So, it's like, why is it, you know, people have told me before, this is the business. And I'm like, why?
But why?
Why does this have to be the business?
In 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah.
I don't get nothing out of running game on my people, but I gotta be honest, sometimes that shit shoots me directly in the foot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It does. It just does. Like, I will tell you everything I know, but you won't tell me anything that you know. You know, and you might take it, my information, leverage yourself, won't pull me up. And really, if I could have just sold it to you, we both would be up. You know, it's just weird. Sometimes I just think in my head. I get in my head sometimes, like, yeah, maybe I could have played that situation different as far as the information. Like, why do people, why do we want to run the game on our own people? You know what I mean?
I think it's an old slave mentality.
Yeah, it's a lot like that goes into it, man.
Yeah, it's a history.
Yeah,
with that.
Yeah, it is.
Getting close to the quote unquote Jewish, the white man. I think they want to, they choose who they want to give the game to.
Yeah.
And they choose who they want to rate. I'm talking about people that's black elites.
Right.
That got the okays of white Jewish men and feel like we can only pick certain people to really give the game to.
Right.
And the other ones we just have to pimp.
Some people got to be deserving of it, they think, you know, because it's a build that comes with it. Like, you know, they can't have you fucking up the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, giving the game to somebody who ain't built for it can just lessen the value of it. I don't know. I think it's like semantics and shit. It get deep. I spend all day looking into this industry, man, like through interviews, through podcasts, and I just be watching people and listening to what they say all day long, you know, because I'm just really interested in, I really believe I would have got where I'm trying to go 5 years ago, I would self-destruct because I'm just not in it for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I wasn't knowledgeable at all about any of the business 5 years ago. So I probably got in and felt like somebody did me wrong, and it would really have me somewhere thinking about it like for forever. Like, damn, like, that's not right. Why would he do that?
You know what I mean? Yeah, for sure.
And it sounds a little soft and sensitive, but that's, if that's what it is, and that's who I am. Like, I don't get nothing out of binding the likeliness of your name in the contract and not just saying, I'm telling you right here, I need the likeliness in your name in order for this contract to go through, bro.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, yeah, that's just saying, and we're using the likeness of your name. Sign right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not knowing that, damn, y'all own my name for the next 30 years.
That's crazy.
I can't, anything I do under this name, I got to pay y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Why you ain't just tell me that, Jewish lawyer, dude?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that Jewish lawyer works with, sometimes the labels send you lawyers that work for them, and they buying shit in the contract, and then they'll, you know,
it gets deep, bro.
Yeah,
it gets deep. They all scratching each other's back at the end of the day.
Yeah, bro.
I realized that with just normal, like, court stuff here in the city, where it was like, I remember I got into some trouble, and I had a Jewish lawyer. I had a dude that, shout out to Michael Elliott, I still mess with him.
Yeah.
But
I got a Jewish lawyer.
shout out to Michael Elliott. But he showed me the game to where, because he comes from a prestigious family. His pops was a judge. And it showed me how, like, these niggas, like, he was talking to the person that was the defense, and he was talking to the judge, and they just like, hey, like, just chucking a job, and like, yeah, well, I'll see you later on tonight at dinner. And then they get into the court case, and then it's just like, oh yeah, it's dismissed. Like, my case ended up being dismissed. Yeah. But it showed me just like the hierarchy in that, because he was a certain name.
Right.
And knew that judge. And then he knew the defense person that was coming up against me.
Right.
To where even though like they're on opposite ends, these niggas are going having dinner later on tonight.
Fact.
And like, that's how these cats be doing on an even higher level. Like you think, I think somebody was just talking about it. It might have been academics, because academics was talking about, he was laughing about it, but he was talking about like on some Illuminati stuff. Where yeah. he was like, man, like, I didn't think, because they be acting like they so like against each other. He was like, man, then I went to this meeting with this billionaire. He's like, I'm seeing Ebro chilling with Hot, like, Power 105, and like, I'm seeing them talking to Spotify, and like, he's like, oh, these guys are daggone having dinner at the end of the day.
Right.
And we're thinking they're on opposite ends. Apple's having dinner with Google. Right. I mean, and Apple's having dinner with Spotify. You know what I'm saying? Like, these niggas is in bed like,
yeah.
All right, how are we going to put this stuff all in so we can get what we can get? Like, these niggas had truths and everything when it came to, like, streaming wars and all that stuff. It was just like, just shows me how deep it can get.
It does, bro. And you said something about, like, court, man, and it made me realize I want to just take this time and be honest. Like, my lawyer is Julius now. I've never played with that man money. Mm. Sometimes I haven't been in no trouble in a long time. Mm. But it was times when I didn't have to even show up to court because he had me. You feel me? And he's taken care of. But I used to have a black lawyer, and I never paid him his last installment because he didn't do what he was supposed to. But that wasn't the agreement. Mm. I was supposed to show up with the money. I was basing if I was going to pay him or not opposed on what happened in the court.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the agreement. And I really honestly think I only did that to him because he was.
You think so?
Because I knew I could do it. Yeah. Mm. I really do. I was younger. This is like 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was wrong. And I just want to just, you know.
Did you know him?
I didn't know him. No. But he was shitty. Mm. You know what I mean? He was a sorry lawyer.
He was
lawyer.
On some Lionel Klutz type stuff. You know what
oh,
that is?
Oh, man. Nah.
From The Simpsons. The lawyer from The Simpsons.
We went in there. I gave him half of his money. I told him I don't need to talk. I don't need to say anything. Mm. So we go in there. The judge asked me a question. And I'm looking at my lawyer to say something. I'm paying this guy. This is not a public defender.
Mm.
And he was like, he leaned over me and say, if I were you, I would answer the if I were you, I would tell the judge whatever wants to know. So I tell the judge. The judge is basically, he saw some old charges and he wanted to know what happened on an old case, and he wanted to know who the people were. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even tell on those people then. This is something 3 years before this news case. So mm-hmm. I said, I ain't got nothing to say on that. Mm-hmm. And it pissed him off, and he added time to my probation sentence. It went from 2 years to 4 years just because I pissed him off.
Crazy.
So I was real mad at my lawyer because I told my lawyer, make sure I'm protected in here. I don't really have the dialogue. You know, I had a little attitude situation. Yeah. So I'm
that's
like,
that's what I'm paying you for.
Yeah.
Nigga.
So with a lawyer, with the white folks, I'd be like, bro, I don't know what you, I didn't give him the, Your Honor, I am, all I can say is, I am remorseful about that situation. I didn't know how to do that at that time. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, I ain't got nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it pissed him off. So I treated the lawyer how I treated
fifth
him.
Nigga fifth.
Yeah.
I plead that piss if.
I'm looking at my lawyer, I'm like, bro, say something. And he like, you better tell him what you want to know.
You say something.
Yeah. And it was bad, bro. I look crazy in
that
there.
Sound like a damn Atlanta skit. That's
bro
was,
I look crazy
who
in
is
there.
This nigga?
And he I'll was hitting sure me up like him. Yo bro, what's up? Cause he told me straight up, I never do installments, but I need what I need up front. Like, this is what I need, but I'ma help you out, so don't, you know, fuck me over. Mm. And I fucked him over. Just off of that. I use that to say, you ain't doing what you're supposed to do, and I ain't, you know. Mm-hmm. And it won't write. It won't write at all.
Well, I mean, at the same time, you felt like you had that right because of how he treated the case.
Yeah.
And so that just goes to show you, it makes me think, on the flip side of it, how would he have been if you were a white client?
Yeah.
Like, was he lackadaisical in not getting his shit together? Because he's supposed to have his shit together. He's supposed to have answers where you shouldn't even have to been answered. Like,
bro,
he should
look.
He should have been like, my honor, my client, so-and-so, yada, 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 in that response.
Right.
Was he like that in a sense because you were a black youth at that mm-hmm. time and they run us in and out of the court system?
I could have got a better outcome with a public defender, bro, with mm-hmm. a PD, bro. Swear. Yeah. I swear. That's how I left feeling. Mm-hmm. I was like, bro, this dude.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Was it state, federal?
It was state.
State.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was state. It was stupid, too. I was just like, damn, bro, I could have just used a public defender, bro.
Yeah, for sure. I was. That's why I asked if it was state or federal, because usually if it's federal, I look at niggas and be like, you might as well just use a public defender.
Yeah.
Because them niggas already know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, you better off saving your money.
Right.
And just getting you a public defender. True. Cause them niggas, when they coming, they coming.
Yeah. Or do like my brother did and represent yourself.
Yeah, so that going up.
Y'all didn't get into that. He probably be mad that I'm bringing that up, but you know my brother, man, he also a legend because he represented himself and won.
We ain't even talk about that.
I know he probably ain't want to, but I'm gonna put him out there because that shit was gangster. Yeah. Nobody in the whole family knew what he was doing. That's, you know, we like, crazy. Bro, you are tripping.
That's like some movie shit.
Yeah, bro. I gotta let him tell you the whole story. But he did that shit and he got off. Everybody in the family was like, nigga, you stupid.
Dang.
But it took months. You know, it was hard to get through, but he came out on top of that shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what's up, man. Mm-hmm. That's like some Afeni Shakur type shit.
Yeah.
Cause you know, I think she did that when she was pregnant with Pac.
Right.
She defended herself and won the case. And KB shaking his head.
So. Oh, wait. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to look into that.
Because, you know, his mom was like, he comes from a Panthers family.
Yeah,
Panther
I knew that.
She got into something to where she was pregnant with him in jail. And when her case came up, she defended herself and won the case while she was pregnant with Pop. And so he comes from that type of mentality.
Yeah.
That's how he was so outspoken. And even though he had a lawyer with his cases, he was talking to where the point where, like, people in that court case, like with him, like Shock G was like, he was talking like a lawyer.
Yeah.
He didn't even really need one.
Yeah.
Because the lawyer didn't do no good in that case. It's kind of like the lawyer was just going through the motions.
Yeah.
With Pac's case. Just like kind of remind me of what you, to where the point where he was like, Your Honor, like when Pac spoke, he spoke better than the lawyer.
Yeah.
And so
I think that's probably what my brother was on.
Mm-hmm.
Real.
Yeah, facts. Shout out to your brother, man. Oh, yeah. I did not know that. That boy MacGyver for real out here, man. In these streets.
Bro, he got busy.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Archdale Slim. I'm fucking it up. Archdale Slim. Let's talk about that, man.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the makings last time we had you on the podcast.
Right.
Yeah, Archdale Slim now. How was the response of it with the tour?
It's been cool. I wanted it to go a little crazier, but it did exactly what I needed it to do. It's still a few videos I need to shoot from it, but I kind of got wrapped up in doing the tour. Yeah.
Put me in that Who's Gas Man, Ghost Man.
Oh, who is Ghost Man?
Who's Ghost Man?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Put me in the video, bro.
Oh, put you in the video?
Have me in the video, man, with the DVD thing.
I got to shoot that selling swag, man, because I didn't know that went crazy.
That ghost go hard, bro.
Yeah,
that ghost
girl. I stopped performing that after a while on tour, and I switched that out for selling swag on the tour, and that became like a little crowd favorite response wise.
Cause you know? The beat so heavy.
Yeah, that selling swag just started going crazy, and I just ain't know niggas was on it like that, and I was like, damn, you know, a few shows I had fans from back when I lived in Houston, and they was just like, bro, you not gonna do Logistics, bro? You not gonna do this song? And I'm like, damn, no, I'm not.
That's one of my favorite songs too, Logistics.
Logistics?
Hell yeah.
I didn't know it's so slow. Excuse me. It's so slow, I didn't know how people would take to it. You know, I just wanted to come out and punch people in the face. But the beat goes so slow, I ain't know how they would take to it. But getting back to Archdale Slim, that I had fun making that and performing some of the songs. And it was just a test. You know, I wanted to just gauge my growth through that project, you know. So I wanted to see if I could fuck around and catch fire. It didn't happen, but it was still a good project to put out.
Catch fire in the sense of what? Because I feel like it caught fire in a good way when it comes to the city.
Yeah, it did, but I wanted to, just in case, you know, my brand caught fire because I was on tour and I'm doing these drops. I wanted to gauge the growth through the numbers of a recent project so I could date it. It just made it a little easier to date back to the first day of the tour. This is what happened. So I was expecting to do something that would grow my not necessarily my views, but just my brand by thousands and thousands of people. That's the kind of hopes I have for it. Like, I'm gonna post some type of clip, or I'm gonna do some type of drop, and it's gonna do something crazy. And I'm gonna just track the growth through the project.
Yeah.
So I didn't know. I was hoping it would have caught fire. Like, first week I dropped it, because everybody's watching me on this tour, it would have did like 10,000. You know, 10,000 streams in the first 7 days. You know what I mean? Because those are numbers that I honestly don't do on Apple or Spotify. But that's what I would like to get to. You know, like 10,000 first week.
You got your stuff on Tidal as well?
Yeah, yeah, I got my shit on everything. Okay. But I do the best on Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do the best on Apple.
Same, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Spotify. Right now it's YouTube. My listening numbers have declined since I've gone visual.
Yeah.
Because more people are watching the visuals. Right. But I think it's still Spotify right now.
I can't get that Spotify fan base to save my life. Like, and what pissed me off is the playlisting. I hate playlisting. It's like, in my brain, it's like 9 to 5 for rappers. You know what I mean? Because it's like the playlisting keeps you kind of content. Because you get paid from the streams.
Yeah.
But if you get taken off the playlist, your monthly listeners just go away.
Yeah.
Like, I got playlisted. Okay, now I got 2,500 listeners a month. They took me off the playlist. I'm back to like 500. So I'm like, God damn, that's stupid. That hurt my pride, man. I ain't even need that. I'd rather just watch it grow organically.
Yeah, for
you know
sure.
What I mean? Because that extra 1,500, 2,000, they ain't real people for me no way. It's just a number, and I collect a couple dollars off of.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, the hell with Spotify. I'm going to just keep working my Apple Music way.
I feel you.
But I do need to get my Spotify numbers because, you know, it's how you leverage business and stuff like that. It's like, I can't go nowhere with no 500 views and 500 monthly listeners on Spotify.
I feel you. But, I mean, like, if you got the Apple numbers, I mean.
Yeah, I got the Apple numbers.
They're looking at both.
Yeah.
So
I got
if you're getting in on one, I mean, who cares if you ain't getting on the other one?
You always come with this, like, optimistic, like.
So I try to be.
Like, viewpoint. Even when we be texting or DMing, bro, you always got the positivity going, and I appreciate you.
Yeah,
for that, bro.
Man. Got like, to, bro. Yeah. Gotta. I have to.
Yeah.
Because if I can't be, I used to be like a negative Nate. Not on people, but on myself.
Same.
And so when I just look at life and, like, you know, the blessings that I've gone through and know the struggles, what people are still dealing with.
Right.
Like, we talking at the end of the day, we talking about Spotify numbers. Like,
yeah.
Niggas is out here like wolves.
Yeah.
Like, really trying to, like, hit, like, plates to eat. And so, like, it's a blessing to be talking about Spotify numbers on the podcast right now. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to, like, man, when am I gonna get my next meal? Like,
nah, that's very true.
Should I rob this nigga? Like, also, like, you know, no. I'd have some thoughts where I'd be like, yo, like, am I have to kick in those? Like, right. Also, like, that's, glory to God, I'm not thinking stuff like that no more, man.
I swear, because so I've been, like, there too.
When we talking about numbers like that means we are blessed, man.
Right.
And so I always look at it like that. And some things gonna catch wind faster than others.
Right.
Know? For me, I think the thing that helped me, because the podcast game is totally different from the music game when it comes to the streaming, because, and then I'm partnered with Anchor. So I think that's what helped with my Spotify numbers, because Spotify is bought by, Anchor is bought by Spotify. Spotify is bought by Amazon.
Oh, okay.
And so with that umbrella, they are catering more to where it's a market for podcasters, to where I put my stuff on Anchor, which is like the SoundCloud of podcasters, to where I think building my profile on there, almost like an Instagram, helped for that transfer to Spotify when they bought Anchor.
Okay.
And so it's all about.
I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Spotify bought Anchor.
Yeah. It goes back to pretty much the businesses that you associate with.
Right.
And who they're partnered with. You know, it's a lot easier. If Apple was partnered with somebody that was a middleman streaming, but because they're so big, they're Apple, they feel like, I don't have to do that right now.
Right.
You know, we don't need no middleman streaming services. Just get on our shit and then, you know, which is good for your numbers. But then at the same time, on getting on certain playlists, I feel like Spotify is better when it comes to playlists. So you want to get those bigger Spotify playlists.
Yeah.
And they Apple hasn't figured out that yet.
Right.
Since making the playlist as legitimate. I ain't gonna say legitimate because it is legitimate. As what's the word I'm looking for? Comparing to Spotify, they don't push it as big as Spotify.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, Apple is a lot more organic than Spotify, because the playlists are real. They're real people, but they're not, in my opinion, they're not real fans. Mm-hmm. Like, if you add me to a playlist and now I got 25,000 monthly listeners, I can't go book a tour or sell merch, because I know if I market to these areas, if I drop merch and run an ad in Seattle because I got 500, 1,000, 2,000 daily listeners there, are they going through a playlist that's just playing and they listening to songs they don't know, or are they actually saying, hey, I fuck with that guy, I'm locked into his catalog? You know, like a subscriber. Are they are monthly listeners subscribers? Mm-hmm. You know, because other than that, I can't do nothing with the numbers besides, you know, shop it to somebody who cares about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Opposed to Apple, every single click I get is an actual person. I can go to Apple and I can take all those numbers and I can do something with it. You know, if I say, okay, in my hometown, I'm getting 3,000 weekly listeners. Mm-hmm. So that means, you know, I could do a show here and I can expect at least 100 people to come out, 200, you know, some shit like that I be thinking about, and it'd be hard for me to wrap my mind around playlisting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a playlist hater, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
All my
we kind of talked about that briefly last time.
I ain't a playlist hater. I shouldn't have said that, because I would love to get playlisted correctly. I would love to reach that side of it. It's inevitable. It's something that I have to do. I just don't really understand it. I just want it to be, or I want my listenership to grow organically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think the way that it'll, when you reach the playlist that you're looking for, I think it just goes back to what you're already doing. It's just putting the work in.
Right.
Because when I'm talking to or listening to these guys that are in charge of these playlists, like the Carl Cherries that's dealing with Apple, and they are basing it off of, because they got a bunch of young niggas working for them.
Right.
And Carl Cherry, he's pretty much like he's a little bit older than us, probably like your brother's age. But he's basing it off of what these people are doing in their cities.
Right.
And so he's looking at the algorithms of like what's going on, how many monthly listeners they got, or what's hot in their city. And then the people or a younger person that's working for Apple is telling them, like, almost like an artist would, for like if you're trying to sign a deal, they're doing it almost like in the same retrospective, just putting people on playlists. Like,
right.
Hey, man, this dude's next up. You need to put him on that playlist. And so the answer to your question, I think it will come just continuing to be what you are, which is relevant, consistent, making hot shit.
For
and
sure.
So, you know, it's all in timing. You know,
for
we
sure.
talking about this shit now, 5 years from now, definitely gonna be on the playlist. Definitely.
5 years, man. Yeah.
Definitely gonna be on some shit with
how it. Old I be in 5 years, man? 2 years.
I don't know.
1 year next year.
How old are you now? Like what?
I'm old though. I'm getting there.
I mean 5 years in it. I ain't even talking about in the sense of like 5 years, you finally get on the playlist. I mean, 5 years, your face will be the highlight of a rap caviar. Like,
oh, yeah, playlist. 5 years from now, I'm going to be established.
Nigga, you be on the playlist the end of this year.
Yeah, like, 5 years from now,
going at the rate that you're going.
I'm
going
to be established in this bitch.
I mean, when you look at rap caviar, you see them niggas like on there, like that nigga, like 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to a playlist, that's like you said, a year and a half, 2 years.
Right.
Because you're going in motion already. And so that's inevitable. If you
Without the playlist, I still want the monthly listeners to grow organically. You know what I mean? Like some of my homies is doing crazy numbers. They don't get playlisted at all.
Yeah.
They do six figures in monthly listeners on Spotify. You know what I mean? Because the brand is just boom like that.
Yeah.
So I'm just working on upping the brand.
Brand, touring.
Yeah.
That dude as well.
For sure.
Doing what you
doing
what you're doing.
I had to learn people seeing you on the tour, like, kind of helps separate what you got going on. And how you can, like, you know, carry yourself, you know what I mean? Not necessarily, like, shrug your nose up at people, but I just saw people treat the situation differently because of different opportunities. So it's like, okay, I'm going to keep going at this rate. And I'll probably start getting some money out of this music shit, because I still don't even be wanting to charge people unless I don't know them at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you ask me, I'm gonna tell you my number. Mm-hmm. But if you from the city, I'm gonna be like, bro, get out of here, bro. I fuck with you. Let's do it.
Oh, that's, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or even if we don't know each other, but I may know you, like, let's just do it. Let's do it. You mm-hmm. feel me? Like, I just want to do it.
Got to be organic.
Yeah.
Feel right.
Yeah, if it's dope, I want to do it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? If I don't know you and I don't know nothing about it, I'm gonna be like, yeah, let me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. If I get to a level of the podcast, I'm off the porch these niggas.
Oh yeah.
Like 1200.
For 12, sure.
1200 to sit down.
I can see it too. You know, we don't have no faces for the entertainment side, like to say cheeses and the real tune TVs and people that sit down with these artists. You might be the one, bro. You might be
niggas,
the one need to do
niggas
that.
Is trying it, definitely. Yeah. It's definitely the, when it comes to the city doing it. It's some people that's
who?
You know, shout out to No Limits about to start his thing.
Oh,
let me talk.
Yeah.
But even with that, it's something fresh because he's been doing radio for so long. He's just now touching the surface.
He's been around a long time. He used to come do pep rallies in my high school.
Yeah. I think he's finally realizing, because he wanted to build his own studio space as well.
Yeah.
I think he's finally realizing with the connections that he has, how good that would be.
Right.
Because he has a pod, like, he has a podcast vibe. Like, right. he could easily get into that lane.
Hell yeah. He'd kill it.
With the connections he has, I think for him it was just, if he's going to do something, he wants to do it right.
Right.
And so I feel like he took his time doing that. And why that? You got me, and then you got Jack of All Spades. Shout out to, like, Olivia Phillips. She be doing her thing.
I haven't heard of the last two. But see, you give me more like Vlad TV vibes. You could potentially go behind the camera.
I ain't asking no incriminating questions.
Like, nah, not like that. Not like that. It's just, you know, you could get to that level of, you know, journalism if that's what you're into.
I am. I feel like I would want to do it more of a base of like a, I want to do it more like it, like a No Jumper. I try to go into the formula of that, to where it's this brand, but with this brand, it's like it's scattered to where it could be like, because I want a production with this.
Right.
And so, like, I don't want it to just be the podcast. I want it to be a brand to where it's other shows under the podcast and, you know, vlogging, going to, like, you know, like what my boy is over here doing with Uncovered. You know, people weren't doing that.
Right.
Like, he went to Skinny J's event and had interviews with cats coming straight off of the day.
Yeah, I saw that. That was dope.
To where it's like, when you think about people who's really doing that in the city, not that many people doing that, you know, right off of the set, you know, just having the setup right there for people.
Yeah.
And so really building that up, building avenues for like stuff like that for people, like an all-woman podcast, you know. I don't see nobody really doing that in that lane in the city. And so I would want to have it to where it's just a full-on production, where it's just like a bunch of creatives, you know, creative space, people doing their thing.
No, that's real. I hopefully I didn't offend you with the Vlad TV comparison.
You definitely did.
I did.
Yeah, I'm just playing.
Oh, damn.
cut the camera.
I like Vlad more than I like
I still fuck with Vlad. Yeah. I still fuck with Vlad when it comes to certain interviews.
Right.
It just depends on the, when I want to listen to like bullshit or buffoonery, I'll listen to No Jumper. Because they keep me laughing.
Yeah. I go to No Jumper when it's not Adam on there. I gotta say that. Like, I go to for like T-Rail and AD and Duno.
I was just about to say, now if it's T-Rail's been having some good solo interviews. Like, he had a good one with J Stone. He had a good one with Rick Ross.
Right.
Like, the real Rick Ross. I didn't know he was that close to where like his mom was working for him and stuff like that. His interviews.
I like him as a person. He got an interesting story. He's the only person to really go from the No Jumper platform, and I seen him on like Bootleg Kev. I seen him on other platforms telling this story.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only time I kind of seen somebody branch off and
hanging with Tyga.
Yeah.
Like, he got a hell of a story.
Yeah, he got a hell of a story.
And he's naturally funny.
Yeah, he is.
So I think that was a good move for him.
Yeah.
Adding him and people like AD.
Yeah. They give it a balance.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Adam get a little too edgy for me sometimes. I gotta kind of just.
He do. Yeah, I mean, he doing his own thing. Yeah, he in his own lane. But he did the right thing of putting people that's really from that city, because Adam ain't from there.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think that was like a smart move
right?
to where. Yeah, yeah, he's from, like, over there. And so that was a smart move to where having people that's really from the city.
Yeah.
And that's why I meant in the sense of No Jumper, where I would still have those Vlad interviews, but one thing I like about No Jumper is where he'll have those big scale interviews, but he'll make sure to still stick to
the roots
LA underground type of niggas that we don't know about.
Yeah, I see a lot of people on the come up that I wouldn't even think he knew about, and he interviewed him. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, and that will be the goal for me. I would want to have the bigger interviews, of course, and I will. But at the same time, you'll see me in an interview where I'll be having an interview with the next Southside.
Yeah.
You know, a dude young like you from the Southside still trying to come up.
Yeah.
And so have that balance of showing people both sides of it. Because at the end of it, what was it about? Charlotte.
Right.
You know, I'm doing this to highlight Charlotte talk about mental health pretty much.
Straight up.
But getting back to Southside Ghost, wrapping it up really in a sense. We're coming into the spring, getting hotter. You about to get healed up, you know.
Yes, sir.
What do you see for this second, going into the second quarter? Because then the third would be, I think you were talking about fall. You may be possibly making moves to where getting back on stage.
So I'm just going to be dropping singles throughout the summer, man. Summer probably sold up for me. I really don't want to, like, incorporate this broke leg into my brand, for real. Like, I don't want to be doing videos and going to events with this damn brace on my leg. But come fall, you know, we've been having talks about getting back on the road, doing another tour. So I'm trying to make sure I'm prepared for that, making sure I'm picking up where I dropped things this last tour, making sure, you know, I'm running a tight ship this second go round.
And so that'll be third quarter. I said second quarter, so that's third quarter fall.
Yep. Correction. Well, what is this second quarter?
I would assume this is approaching the second quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. We in the second quarter right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I really just, you know, I'm getting ready to drop a single on Tuesday. I kind of wrote this song. I had a vision how the tour would go, and it went exactly how I had the vision. It's weird.
It was on some Deja Vu shit?
Yeah, because I wrote the song before I went on the tour, and I told my man I wanted, this is the song I want for the recap of the tour. Mm. And, you know, I wrote the song and recorded the song before the tour.
Damn.
And seeing the video is like, damn, it all made sense. You know what I mean?
Damn.
So I'm dropping that on Tuesday. I'll probably put a project and the slower videos out, you know. Southside Getting Money 3 on the way.
I was about to say, you got to do at least one video with that cast on, bro.
Nah.
At least one. Why not?
Because I don't want people thinking I got shot. I don't want it looking goofy. You know what I mean? I just rather not. It just feels goofy. You know what I mean?
I feel like you, if anybody could pull off.
If I was in a wheelchair, I would prefer to, like, you know, if I was doing a video on crutches. But this big cast, I can't even wear jeans and shit. Like, I don't want
perfect time and getting out.
Not even a cast, a brace. It just looks stupid. Like you heard the man when I walked in. He said, "Damn, you look like RoboCop or some shit." He said, "You know, I don't want those vibes for the brand."
Well, just think about it, man. Yeah. Let it marinate for a minute. I feel like if anybody can pull it off, you can do it on some player shit.
I could, but that ain't it. That ain't the way for the kid, man.
Mm-hmm. I feel. And that who is Ghost Man?
Oh yeah, a video coming out to that, and selling swag for sure.
Yeah,
and the fifth,
the bass
and,
on that.
Yeah,
the bass on down. That is crazy. Can't wait to see those videos. Can't wait to see the fruition of what I know is pretty much inevitable. It's just everybody in the world catching on to it, brother.
You know?
As always, it's a pleasure having you, man.
Yes, sir.
You
know, man.
Much love to you as always,
through.
Dude. Mutual. Always holding it down, bro.
Yes, sir.
We don't got to do the socials, man. Y'all Google my nigga, man. Y'all already. Hey, we already know where he at, man. Google my man, Southside Ghost, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's get it popping.
Listen to
man.
The music.
Turn me up one time.
Turn him up, man. This as of late.
For sure.
Thanks for listening to As of Late podcast. Be sure to follow us on Spotify. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You can listen to As of Late podcast on both of those. You can also listen to As of Late podcast on Anchor.fm and Google Podcasts.